The morning of today's Daf and Shavuos is Daf Gimel. We're starting today at the Gemara, meaning the Mishnah yesterday covered the entirety of Daf Beis. I'm an Alpha Med Beis, and now we're going to be starting the Gemara's first discussion. Just a quick recap of yesterday. The Mishnah introduced us to this idea of Shavuos, meaning that there is what's called Shavuos Bitui, when you express something about either a future or a past. So, and one does not commit to what he says, either he's going to do or not do, or what he did or did not do. So one is going to be subject to an issur in the Torah. And if he does so bishogig, if he does so having forgotten about his shvuah, so then he's going to bring a carbon ola v'yorid. The carbon ola v'yorid is mentioned in Vayikra Perakei. It's a fluctuating carbon. It's one in which the person is going to bring a carbon only simply based on his financial status. If he's wealthy, he'll bring an animal, Fezu Karban Chatas. If he is poor, he'll bring a pair of birds, one a Karban Ola and the other Karban Chatas. And if he's really poor, so he'll bring a Mincha. So that is one of the times where the Torah requires a Karban Ola V'yari, and the other time is Tumas Mikdash V'Kadashav. A person is Tamei, and having forgotten about his tummy, he walks into the Beis HaMikdash, or he goes into, or he eats karbanos, while having forgotten that he was tummy. So as long as he had a yediyah before and a yediyah afterwards, and the halama was in the middle, so that too will bring about a karban ola v'yorid. So there are two occasions in the Torah. One brings a karban ola v'yorid. There are other isurim also in the Torah for karban ola v'yorid. But our Mishnah, however, takes these two cases of shvuah and yediyah tumah and puts them side by side. They are found in the Torah next to one another. They're juxtaposed one next to the other in the Torah. And also, they also meet the criteria of Shtein Shehein Arba, two which is four. Two which is four because there are two cases explicitly mentioned in the Torah, and then through Drush, another two cases are extracted from that as well. In the case of the Shavuos, the two cases explicitly mentioned in the Torah is Lehara O Lehetiv, to either do something which is bad or good. Bad, good over here, not meaning, not judgmentally bad or good, but meaning I'm either going to abstain from doing something or I will do something to the negative or to the positive. The Torah talks about the future, and then we're Marbe, later on in the Gemara, we're going to include also a Shavuos L'Sha'avar, both in the positive and in the negative. That is the two which is four by Shavuos. Another two which is four by Yediyas HaTumah is the two cases is I either go into the base of Mikdash having forgotten that I'm Tamei, or I eat carbon after I've lapsed into this state of unawareness and I'm Tamei. Those are the two explicitly mentioned in the Torah. And then on top of that, there's another two where I remember that I was Tamei, but I forgot that this is a carbon, or I forgot that this is the base of Mikdash. So, somewhat unimaginable to explain how the guy forgot that this is the base of Mikdash, but okay, he forgot. Anyway, those are the two and four cases regarding Yediyas HaTumah. And then the Mishnah went also to point out that there are two other cases where you have this idea of Shtayim Shein Arba. One is by Shabbos, specifically by the Malach of Hotza'ah. There are two cases explicitly mentioned in the Torah, and that is the removal of an item from a Rishus Yachid to a Rishus Arabim. And those are two cases because it's the push and the pull, meaning either you'll have the person in the Rishus Yachid pushing something out into the Rishus Arabim, or the person standing outside pulling something out into the Rishus Arabim. And then the two other cases, the Tolados or the Achnasa, that's bringing something into the Rishus Yachid from the outside. And again, the two cases are push and pull. And then the last case which the Mishnah brought up is Saras. Saras, there are two shades in the Torah of a white discoloration that is considered, that it will make a person a Mitzora, where when he concludes his Saras, he's going to have to bring Karbanos in order to go through the whole Tahara procedure. So there are two whites that are mentioned in the Torah, and as we're going to learn later in today's daf, there's two additional shades of white, which the Gemara calls them Tolados. There are subcategories of the two white shades that are mentioned in the Torah. Okay, that is so far the Mishnah that we covered yesterday. The Mishnah yesterday went through a great deal regarding Yediyas HaTumah, because the Mishnah then outlined in detail that we are going to bring a Karban Ola V'yorid if there's the idea in front and there's the idea on the backside of you going into the Beis HaMikdash or eating Karban while in state of Tumah. What if there's no Yediyah on the front side? What if there's no Yediyah on the backside? What if there's no Yediyah at all? And yesterday, the Mishnah outlined three shitas, really are four shitas in the Mishnah, in terms of which Karbanis is going to be serving as a kapara for these less than perfect illustrations of Yediyas HaTumah. where either, again, not in the front, not in the back, or not at all. Machlokas in the Mishnah between Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Shimon, and then there was a second version of Rabbi Shimon, and the Gemara's dialogue between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon, all that we did yesterday in the Mishnah. With all that stated, just was a quick summary of yesterday's Mishnah. Let's continue now in the Gemara. We're on the Gemara in the very bottom of Beis Amud Beis. Gemara opens up with the following question. Michdi. Tanami Mako Salik. So, you know, we just finished Makos, the Gemara reminds us. Meaning, the Gemara knew the Seder HaMishnayos and the Seder, the Masechtos. So, what's the link? What's the bridge? What takes us from Makos to Shavuos? And I think really what the Gemara is asking is a little bit more specifically. Meaning, why does Shavuos starting off here? Meaning, Shavuos could start off from any place. And in fact, our Masechta starting off with Shtayim Shein Arba, it's a Mishnah that could really fit in anywhere in the Masechta. Why is that the opening Mishnah of the Masechta? So, Maishan Ditani Shavuos Mishum Ditani Edidni. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Because look at the one of the last Mishnahs that we read back in Makos. Chayv al Arosh Shtayim, Achaz Mikan Vachaz Mikan. So, if you cut off your pa'as harosh, the corners of your head, what we, you and I would call sideburns. So we already learned back in Makos that you're going to be chayv twice. Meaning, even though it's you and it's your one head and you cut them off, and even, right, remember the Rivan back in Makos, even if you did at the same time, you're still going to be chayv two sets of Makos. Those are two separate lavin, even though it's one pasuk in the Torah, but the two separate lavin. So therefore, you're going to receive two sets of Malkos. Va'al, we're on the very top of Gimel Amud Aleph. Va'al zekan shtayim mikan, v'shtayim mikan, v'achaz melamata. Now, as far as the beard is concerned, so again, remembering what we learned back in Malkos, there were five corners of the face, five corners for the beard. Again, there are multiple opinions amongst the Rishonim, what exactly are the five corners. Back in Makos, we went over one of the Shitas, the Rivan, who counts the five corners as that turn in the jaw, the turn to the chin, and then both turns on the other side of the face. The Rush points out that there are other opinions as well. There's Rashi. Rashi, in fact, right over here. There is the who seems to describe it somewhat differently. There's a Rabbeinu Chananel. There are a host of opinions in terms of where the five corners are on the face. And the Rush already writes, I quoted this back in Makos, the Rush wrote back in Makos, that a Yari Shamayim, that a person who fears heaven should not take a razor and put it to his face, even though technically if you were to navigate and not hit the corners, that would be fine, but because we don't exactly know where the corners are on the face, so therefore you shouldn't take a razor to your face at all. So says the Rush, which is brought down lahalacha. In the meantime, however, the Mishnah says that if you hit all five corners, you're going to be chayv. You're going to be chayv for each one. So now, what are we looking at? We're basically looking at both for the corners of the head and the corners of the face. We're looking at chad de mechayv alav tarte. It's one iser, but it can manifest in multiple lavim, even though it's one iser. So tanishvu shtayim shein arba. So if as long as we're looking at the basically multiplication of isurim, so that's why our Mishnah says two, which is four, right? Two becomes four. Just like in the Mishnah Makos, right, one becomes two, and one can even become five. Okay, so that's that is the link that gets us from Masechta Makos over here to Masechta Shavuos. Maishna hachiditan lo kulu, maishna gabi yitzir Shabbos amaros negaim, lo kitan lo kulu. Now, you'll notice that there are four topics that were covered in our Mishnah. In the introduction to today's daf, I went over all four topics. Now, in our Mishnah actually takes us through all four topics. Tuma, Shavuos, Shabbos, Negayim. All four of them are presented in our Mishnah. Meanwhile, open up to the beginning of Masechta Shabbos. So the beginning of Masechta Shabbos, it says Shtayim Shein Dalid, Shtayim Shein Arba regarding Hotzah. But in Masechta Shabbos, it doesn't mention the other three. Open up to the beginning of Negayim. Negayim is only Mishnayos, we don't have Gemara Negayim. But open up to the beginning of Negayim, and again, you're going to see over there Shtayim Shein Arba, two which are four, meaning the two main shades of white and the subcategories that we're about to learn together in the Gemara. But it doesn't mention the other three. So, question, simple question. Why in Shabbos and in Negayim it says two of which is four, but it only presents the topics that are relevant to that Masechta, and meanwhile, in the beginning of Shavuos, it does Shtayim Shein Arba, and it quotes now all four cases. Now, of those four cases, Shabbos obviously is not going to be discussed here. It will be discussed in Masechta Shabbos. And obviously, Negayim is going to be discussed in Masechta Negayim. So why does our Mishnah mention all four cases? So Amre, Shavuos v'yidiyas atumah degabe hadadik sivan, v'damya hadadi bekarben olavi yared, tenuluhu gabe hadadi. So the Gemara says, well, here's the starting point of our Tana. Meaning, our Tana knows that it's going to lump together, it's going to couple together the Isurim of Yedias Atoma, and that is Shavuos. And for a very simple reason. In the Torah, they are found side by side. In the Torah, they are both connected with the special carbon Olav Yoreid. So in other words, they're related. And they are, okay, may not be the best word to describe it, but they're right there, side by side in the Torah. So our mission knows that it's going to put those two together. Then on top of that, as long as we have two of the four, so then ID, the Tana Tarte, Tana Kulu. So we got two of the four, so as long as we're here, so let's mention the other two. You see, as opposed to Shabbos, so it's only mentioning one of the four. And in the Negayim, it's only mentioning one of the four. So there's no need then to write the other three, but here, it just seems like we got two already, just bring in the other two. Okay, Pasach B'Shavuos, Umefarish Yedias Atoma. Now, the opening of our Mishnah, what's the cases of the Mishnah in order? So first it mentions Shavuos, Shtayim Shein Arba, Yedias Atoma, Shtayim Shein Arba. Then, in terms of amplification, which one gets explained? So Yedias Atoma get explained. And the Gemara right now likes to assume that there's a certain chronology within the Mishnah. Meaning if sequentially the Mishnah first presents Shavua, then Yedias Atoma, then in terms of amplification, so shouldn't it first be, we're going to explain Shavuos, and then we're going to explain the concept of Tuma? And why does the Mishnah for amplification invert the two cases? So the Gemara explains, I did the Zutran Milayu Pasuk Shari Lahu. Vehadar Tani Shavuos Tenefisha Milayu. So the Gemara says like this, Yedias Atoma is not a lot of information. Yedias Atoma, there are going to be two parakim of our Masechta that deal with Yedias Atoma, and then that's it. So basically what the Gemara says is that let's get it out of the way. Now, neither I nor the Gemara means that it's something to dispense with. It's part and parcel of the corpus of the Torah. It just simply means that it's something that is bite-sized, something that's, we could just simply look at. It won't take that long, and in Daf Yomi terminology, it will take a little bit longer, but it's only two parakim of Shas, so we'll do the Yedias HaTumah, we'll cover the whole topic of Tumah, right, get it over with, and then Shavuos, which is a much broader, wider topic, so then we're going to sit on that a lot longer. The Gemara says that's the mindset of the Mishnayos in terms of why first discuss Yedias HaTumah, then follow afterwards by Shavuos.
Yeah, it's also that anytime the Gemara finds a space to go on the laws of Tumah Torah,
True. Chagiga, the Mishnayos do spend some time doing that as well. It's true.
They make a point of saying that. They're saying that, like, right. Any excuse, right. Because there's no specific.
Right, but here the Gemara's really. I hear you. But here the Gemara's worried about the order. Meaning that first the Mishnah says, right, in terms of heading, Shavuos and Tumah, right. And then when it amplifies, it says, it first discusses Tumah. Right. Okay. Shavuos, Shtayim Shein Arba, Shtayim She'ochel. Okay, and now we are a little bit less than halfway down on Gimel Amud Aleph. And the Gemara is going to now explain. Now, obviously, when we learned the Mishnah yesterday, we already did this, but now the Gemara is actually going to go through the time to take us through each one of these examples and explain how two becomes four for each one of them. Shavuos Shtayim Shein Arba. Shtayim She'ochel V'Shelo Ochel. The two Shavuos of the Torah, where a person is going to be bound by that which he said, and if he doesn't comply with that which he says, he's going to be subject to bringing in carbon olav yoreid, is future. Ochel V'lo Ochel. I point to that loaf of bread, and either by Shavua, I bind myself to eating that loaf of bread, or by Shavua, I bind myself to not eating that loaf of bread. Those are the two mentioned in the Torah. And again, the Torah doesn't talk about a loaf of bread. The Torah says, Lahara, O Lehiti, but the Torah talks about it, B'lashon Ha'asid, in the future. Now, what are the two other cases? Yedias HaTumah, I'm sorry. Shein Arba, Achalti V'Shelo Achalti, which then becomes four because through Drasha, which we're going to do later in the Masechta, we're going to expound that not only does it come to include the future, but also the past as well, where either I did or I did not eat the loaf of bread. Now, we'll talk about this a little bit later this morning as well. When we talk about the future, so obviously we're talking about something that has not yet materialized, and it's really based on me. Meaning, I'm going to be the determinant of whether or not I'm going to comply with my shavua or not. I bind myself to eat the loaf of bread. So now it's totally within my control whether I will either adhere to the shavua or not adhere to the shavua. And if I do, good. And if I don't, so, again, B'shogeg, I'm going to bring a carbon olav yoreid. Great. It's much different than the past. Meaning, if I make a shavua about the past, it occurred already. So, in other words, the moment of articulation, either it's a correct shavua or it's an incorrect shavua. It sounds a lot more like a shavua shav. Meaning, what is a Shavua Shav? We'll talk about this also in the course of today's daf. But let's get comfortable with the terminology. Shavua Shav is where I point to something and I say, you see this tie? It's not a tie. I swear, and I'm only doing this by example, I swear that it's a watch. Okay, sure. Okay, Shavua Shav is where you say something that's patently ridiculous. The Gemara gives examples where you point to a man, you say that's a woman. The Gemara says where you point to a stone and you say that's a piece of gold. In other words, what you're saying is clearly, unequivocally, nonsense. It's just not true. So that is what the Gemara describes as a Shavua Shav. As we will see in the course of today's daf, for a Shavua Shav, even though it's a Lav Shem B'maisi, one's going to get Malkus for a Shavua Shav. A Shavua L'Sha'avar, very similar, but it's not the same. Shavua Sha'avar means either I ate that loaf of bread or I did not eat that loaf of bread. Now, it's factual. Either I did or I didn't. Isn't that the same thing as a Shavua Shav? No. And again, it's a subtle difference, but I'm highlighting the difference right now. With a Shavua Shav, the moment that you articulate it, everyone knows immediately that what you're saying is ridiculous and just simply patently not true. A stone is not a piece of gold. So when you make such a Shavua, that's described as a Shavua Shav. A Shavua L'Sha'avar, people don't know, meaning the only one who really knows this is me. So it is not immediately recognizable that what I'm saying is in fact so or not so. And so, under those circumstances, it doesn't fall under the category of Shavua Shav, it falls under the category of Shavua's Bitui. Okay. All that is just, it's all definitional, but it's the ABCs, it's what we need to know regarding Shavuos. So, I'm pointing it out right now. Okay, Yedias HaTumah. We're continuing now in the Gemara. Shtein Shein Arba, it's two which is four. Shtein Yedias HaTumah, Karsh V'Yedias Tumah, Tumas Mekdash, Shein Arba, Kodeshu Mekdash. Okay, and like we described already, but here the Gemara is spelling it out. So the two cases, which are Yedias HaTumah of the Torah, is where I forget that I'm Tameh, and I either eat carbon or I go into the Beis HaMikdash, and then discover and remember that I, in fact, was Tameh. So I had a Yedia before and a Yedia afterwards, and in the interim, when I forgot, I either ate carbon or went into the Beis HaMikdash. Under those circumstances, you're going to be Chayav carbon Olav Yared. Two other cases are going to be where I knew I was Tamei, but I forgot this was a carbon. I knew I was Tamei, but I forgot this was the Beis HaMikdash. You see, Shabbos Shtayim Shein Arba, Shtayim Motza Dani Votza Debalabais, Shein Arba Achnasa Dani Vachnasa Debalabais. Gemara spells out, we already said this yesterday, we say this again in the beginning of today's shir, in terms of the Hotza, the one that is explicitly mentioned in the Torah, is the removal of an item from Rishus Yachid to Rishus Rabim. There are two cases, because it's a push and it's a pull. The two other cases are when you go from the Rishus Rabim into the Rishus Yachid. The Gemara describes that as Hachnasa. It's a Tolada of Hotza'ah. And so therefore, and the two other cases are pushing and pulling into the house. And then finally, Maris Negayim Shnayim Shein Arba. When it comes to tzaras, there are two shades explicitly mentioned in the Torah. Shnayim, Se'es, and Baheres. I'm pretty sure yesterday I said Tzapachas. And I know why I did that, because the Pasuk says it. But in terms of the actual shades themselves, so I was wrong yesterday, so it's a good time to correct. It's Se'es and Baheres. Okay. So the Se'es and Baheres are the two shades of white for tzaras. Okay, in terms of in terms of what these shades look like, Se'es is like a dull white, and the Baheres is a much brighter white. Like the word Bahir means bright. Baheres they describe as looking like snow. It's like snow white, and the Se'es looks like the white wool of a sheep. So it's a much duller white. So Shehein Arba'a Se'es v'toladasa Baheres v'toladasa. And then there are two subcategories, there are two toladas, where the white snow, the Baharis, has a subcategory underneath it. The plaster, the Mishnah describes it as the plaster going, a fresh coat of plaster going on the Beis HaMikdash, the white wall, and for that, that's for the Baharis. And for the Se'es, so the Mishnah over there describes a white eggshell. Again, a dull, it's like a duller white. Okay. Anyway. And that means to say then that if you're a Kohen looking at the Tzaras, so you really have to know your whites. Meaning that there are shades that are going to be subject to Tzaras, and there are going to be, obviously, a host of shade of whites that are not going to be subject to Tzaras, and the Kohen has to know this. Okay. Mani Masnissen, who is the author of our Mishnah? Lo Rabbi Yishmael, v'lo Rabbi Akiva. Our Mishnah does not seem to be following one particular Tana, and in order to understand this, we need to know more information. The Gemara gives us the necessary information to understand that our Mishnah does not seem to be following a single Tana. Now, Rabbi Shmuel, as we're going to learn later in the Masechta, is of the opinion that you only chayv a carbon olav yorid for the future, not for the past. Which means then that according to Rabbi Shmuel, it's not shtein shein arba. According to Rabbi Shmuel, it's just shtein. So our Mishnah seemingly is not going like Rabbi Shmuel. That's one problem. Another problem is our Mishnah is not going like Rabbi Kiva. And Rabbi Kiva, ha'amar alam tuma hu chayv einu chayv ala mikdash. Rabbi Kiva says that for the case of halama, of becoming unaware of your tuma, Rabbi Kiva only includes the cases where you forgot your tummy and you went into the base of mikdash or you ate carbon. But on the flip case of you knew you were tummy but you forgot it's the base of mikdash or you forgot that it's kodesh, for that Rabbi Kiva does not require demand a carbon olav yared. So therefore, in the case of tumas mikdash v'kadasha, Rabbi Kiva only has two, not four. Okay, so on the shvuah side, Rabbi Yishmael says only two, not four. On the Yediyas HaTumah side, Rabbi Kiva says two, not four. And so, who is our Mishnah? Now, it could be that the Mishnah is just simply a patchwork of a little bit of Rabbi Kiva and a little bit of Rabbi Shmuel. But you know that's not the way the Gemara likes to look at Mishnayos. The Gemara likes to look at Mishnayos as one Tana being the author of the Mishnah. So, Ibais Ema, Rabbi Kiva, Ibais Ema, Rabbi Shmuel. So the Gemara starts off by saying, well, maybe we'll suggest like this. Maybe our Mishnah is either going like Rabbi Kiva or like Rabbi Shmuel. Mehen lechiv, mehen liftor. Second to last line. Ibai sema Rabbi Shmuel, mehen lechiv, mehen liftor. Ibai sema Rabbi Kiva, mehen lechiv, mehen liftor. So the Gemara says like this. Well, maybe here's how we'll read the Mishnah. The Mishnah says two, which is four. The Mishnah is not telling us what the result of all those cases are. The Mishnah is just simply identifying what the cases are. And then it could very well be that, let's say, for example, if you're Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva, on Tumas Mikdash V'Kadash, of the only two, not four, which are going to be Chayiv. What the Mishnah is doing is identifying all four cases, but it could be that for two of them you're going to be Chayiv and two of them are going to be Patur from a carbon olav yared. Similarly, what we could say is that our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Shmuel. Now Rabbi Shmuel, in the case of Shua, only has two cases, not four cases. Okay, the Mishnah is identifying four cases. Some of them you're going to be Chayiv and some of them you're not going to be Chayiv, a carbon olav yared. The Gemara says, no. It's very difficult. So Liftor, the Gemara asks incredulously, we're on the very top of Gimel Amud Beis, Ha Dumya Damars Negayim, Kitani. Ma Hasam Kula L'Chiyuva, Avachanami Kula L'Chiyuva. So the Gemara says, did you see the other cases in the Mishnah? So one of the other cases in the Mishnah is Nega, Tsaras. Now two which is four. Clearly, the four shades of white in the two which is four category are all lechiv. They're all going to bring about a chiv where the person is for sure going to be a mitzora. At the end of tzaras, he's going to for sure have to bring karbanos to be mitzora himself. There is no distinction between the two versus the other two. They're all lechiv. And if the Mishnah is lumping together these four categories, so clearly have to be working with that pattern of two, which is four, and they're all lechiv. Ma hasam kula lechiv, av hachanami kula lechiv. Okay, so what we just suggested, that maybe two, which is four, is not all the chiyuv. The Gemara just simply dismisses it. It's not true. It's not correct. Our Mishnah is all the chiyuv. So, la'olam Rabbi Shmuel. So, with that in mind, so the Gemara is going to suggest, okay. So, here's now what we'll say, a new approach. Our Mishnah and the authorship of our Mishnah is Rabbi Shmuel. V'chila mechayev Rabbi Shmuel, lisha avar, karban. Ava makos chiyuv mechayev. So, when the Mishnah says that you're chayev, the Mishnah was not talking about karbanos. Because according to Rabbi Shmuel, you're not chayv a karban l'sha'avar. You're only chayv a karban l'asid. L'hara l'etiv. When I say I'm going to do something or not do something in the future, so that is when Rabbi Kiva says that if you do not comply with your shvuah, you're going to bring a karban olav yared. But only for the future, not for the past. Our Mishnah says two, which is four. And we're trying to put our Rabbi Shmuel as the author of the Mishnah. Our Mishnah is not talking about karban. Our Mishnah is talking about malchus. Meaning that for all four violations, when a person is doing so intentionally with Hasra and Edim, so he's going to be receiving Malchus in all four circumstances of future and past. Okay, now, this is going to be a little bit difficult. It's going to be a little bit tricky. Let's first take a look at the two cases of past tense. Either I ate or I didn't eat this loaf of bread. I did or I didn't. So the warning you'll receive is don't lie. don't lie to us, right? It's an ism in the Torah to lie. So that's the warning he's going to receive. But what's, of course, the problem? The problem is that what is the Avera? The Avera is the articulation. It's the Dibor. This is what's called in Halacha Lav Shem B'Maisa. We just finished the third parak of Malkos. We discussed this extensively. A Lav Shem B'Maisa, you don't get Malkos. So what are we doing now, suggesting that our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Shmuel vis-a-vis Malkos, and that in all four cases you're going to get Malkos? How are you getting Malkos for articulation that's a Lav Shem B'Maisa? The Gemara answers this question. The Gemara didn't take us through everything I just did, but this is what is behind the Gemara. It brings us to the Gemara's next point. Uchid de Rava. Dama Rava befer ribs the Torah shvur sheker dumi de shvur shav. Mashav lisha avar, av sheker nami lisha avar. What the Torah does is the Torah puts together side by side shvur sheker and shvur shav. Go through the Rashi. I'm not going to go through the Rashi right now, but go through the Rashi over here. Rashi takes this pasuk by pasuk and explains how shvur sheker and shvur shav are put side by side in the Torah. But in the meantime, however, we have a special ribui, as I mentioned earlier this morning, but I'm going to repeat again, a special ribui Torah that for shvur shav, even though it's just an isser of articulation, I point to a stone and I say that's gold, and a person makes a shvur to that effect. So even though that is just an isser dibur, nevertheless, he's going to get malchus for that. The Torah puts together the side by side the shvur shav together with shvur's bitui l'sha'avar, and just like you're going to get malchus for shvur shav, you're also going to get malchus for shvur's bitui l'sha'avar. Just give me one more moment. Let's just finish this thread, this flow. So that now goes on to explain how it is that you're going to get malchus for the sha'avar, meaning. It is a lav shem b'maisa. You're right. It is just articulation. Fine. The Torah puts side by side shvur shav and shvur sheker, which teaches us that you get malchus for the past. But now let's talk about the two cases of the future. Bishlama achalti v'lo achalti k'derava. So the Gemara says, okay, I understand that the two shvurs I make in the past, either I did or did not eat that loaf of bread, that you're going to get malchus for because of the Torah's connection to shvur shav. But for future, shelo ochel v'achal nami lav sheish b'maisehu. Now, in the two future shvur, so either I will or I won't. So in the case of I won't, that's great. I mean, it's not, none of this is great. But at least it fits, it works. Because when the shvur is I won't eat this loaf of bread, and then what do? You eat it, so you're actively violating your shvur. I understand why you're going to get malchus over there. That's a lav sheyesh b'maisa. Ela ochel v'lo ochel. But when my shvur is I will eat this loaf of bread. So how do you violate your shvua? By doing nothing. By abstention. That's a lav shem b'maisa. So why should you get malchus for such a case? It's not a shvua l'sha'avar. And it's not compared to shvua shav. It is a shvua l'asid. But it's through an action. So why are you going to get malchus? Amai lav shem b'maisa hu. It's a lav shem b'maisa. And therefore, you should not get malchus. Mechadish the Gemara. The Gemara tells us now the following chiddush: Kasav Rabbi Shmuel Lav Shem B'Maisa Lokin Alav. Okay, but as long as we're explaining our Mishnah Aliba to Rabbi Shmuel, we're now going to suggest as a chiddush that Rabbi Shmuel holds that you will receive Malkus even for a Lav Shem B'Maisa. So Iachi Kasha to Rabbi Yochanan to Rabbi Yochanan. So the Gemara says, fine. If all this is correct, so here we are now at this juncture of the Gemara. Who is the author of our Mishnah? Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel says, wait 1 second. The carbon olav yored is only for the future, not for the past. The Gemara says, yeah, but our Mishnah is not talking about carbon olav yored. When our Mishnah says 2, which is 4, it's talking about Malkus. Malkus? Wait a second. For the 2 shvuos of the past, so that I understand you're going to get Malkus, that's a special limud akra. Fine. And for the two of the future, for the shvuah of I won't eat, and then I did, that's a shvuah sheish b'maisa. On the shvuah that I will eat, and then I didn't, that's a lav shem b'maisa. Why are you going to get malchus? And here, what the Gemara is now saying is that our Mishnah, the first Mishnah in Shavuos, is subscribing to Rabbi Shmuel, and Rabbi Shmuel holds that a lav shem b'maisa, you are going to get malchus for. That's where we are right now in the Gemara. Danny, thank you for waiting.
Lav shem b'maisa. So why can't we say that on the Shavuot Sheker, he's actually using God's name in vain?
There's a machlokus on the Rishon, and the Rambam says that being mostly Shem Shemal and Vatal is an Issa Daraisa. Not all the Rishonim agree with the Rambam. Okay. All right, anyway, that's okay. And it's us according to all Rishonim, just whether it's an Issa Daraisa or Darabana. Okay. Where does it leave us off right now? So in the Gemara, so that's how we set up our Mishnah. Here's the problem. Our Mishnah is a Stam Mishnah. Our Mishnah does not utter the words Rabbi Shmuel, nor does it utter the word Rabbi Kiva. It's what's called a Stam Mishnah. We know, we say this all the time throughout Shas. It is one of the most repeated lines throughout Shas. As far as Rav Yochanan is concerned, halachic is Stam Mishnah. Once you have a Stam Mishnah, Rav Yochanan says that tips us off that that's the halacha. So think about it now. We just set up our Mishnah like Rabbi Shmuel. In order to do that, we have to say that Mishnah is not talking about carbon, because it's only talking about Malkus. How are you getting Malkus for a Lav Shem B'Maisa? Our Mishnah subscribes to the viewpoint that a Lav Shem B'Maisa you do in fact get Malkus for. Okay. So now we have just found a Stam Mishnah throughout Shas that says that you are going to receive Malkus for a Lav Shem B'Maisa. Now Rav Yochanan, as the Gemara is about to point out, doesn't hold like that LaHalacha. Well, why doesn't he hold like that LaHalacha? We've just uncovered a Stam Mishnah that in fact holds like that. Gemara asks this very question. So that now is going to present a difficulty, because the Amr of Yochanan halachik is Stam Mishnah, the halacha in fact follows the Stam Mishnayos. V'itmar shvua she'ochel kikar ze hayom v'avar hayom v'lo achla. And a person makes a shvua, the case that we are discussing, where he says, I will eat this loaf of bread today, and he bounds himself by shvua to do so. And then the day comes and goes and he doesn't eat it. So he's not going to receive Malkus. Under no circumstances going to receive Malkus. Why not? Rav Yochanan v'Reish Lakish Amar Tavai Eino Loke. So both Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish agree to this conclusion. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Eino Loke Mishum Davi Lav Shem B'Maisa V'Chol Lav Shem B'Maisa Ein Loken Alav. And Rav Yochanan says, you know why you're not going to get Malkus? Because it's inaction. Because he's not doing anything. Exactly. In order to violate the sister, it is done through inaction. And it's a Lav Shem B'Maisa, therefore you're not going to get Malkus. Now Reish Lakish Amar Eino Loka Asra Safik Uva Asra Safik Lo Shmei Asra. And Reish Lakish says, no, the problem is a technical problem, and that when you warn him, the warning is not considered a hasras vadai. Meaning at 8 a.m., right after you hear him make the shvua, you say to him, hey, you better eat that loaf of bread. He says, I will. Well, don't worry. I got time. So in other words, when you warn him, yeah, but you know, if you don't eat that loaf of bread, you're going to get malchus. He's like, I know. I got time. And yes, as we pointed out when we did exactly this concept back in Malkus, you could try to get him right before the day's over. And yes, in other words, in that moment of time, right before the day's over, you could basically pin him down to, if you don't eat it within the next, 2 seconds, so you're going to get Malkus. So yes, it's true, that could theoretically happen, but improbable. Meaning whenever the warning is coming, generally speaking, it's either going to be too early or too late. So this is what's called an halacha asra safek. And so therefore, for a technical reason, he's not going to get Malkus. But, okay, and that's Reish Lakish. And the Gemara elsewhere discussed, why doesn't Rav Yochanan agree to Reish Lakish? Why doesn't Rav Lakish agree to Rav Yochanan? But in the meantime, our focus today is on Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan says you don't get Malkus for Lav Shem B'Maisa. But our Mishnah, as Rav Yochanan just set it up, is holding that you do get Malkus for Lav Shem B'Maisa. So where does that leave Rav Yochanan? Leaves us a little bit confused. The Gemara tries to unconfuse us. Rav Yochanan, Stam Achrina Ashkach. So Rav Yochanan knows about another Stam Mishnah. Where's the other Stam Mishnah? Hai Stama Ilema, Hai Stama did not. So the Gemara says, well, what about a Mishnah Makkos that we just got done learning? Achal, this was back on Daf Yudzayin Makkos, a week ago. Aval. Aval Hamosir Bitahor, Hashover Bitame Enoloke. Two cases in the Mishnah which you're not going to get Makkos for. If you leave over some of the carbon Pesach, it's kosher carbon Pesach, it's tahor, perfectly fine, and you leave some over. Meaning, what did you do? You successfully violated the Issur in the Torah of Nosar. Okay, lo sosir mimenu ad boker. So you're not going to get Malkus as a Mishnah. And a shofar b'tamei. Let's say the carbon Pesach is a tamei carbon Pesach, and I break the bone. The Torah says you're not allowed to break the bones of the carbon Pesach. Etzem lo sishmeru bo. So under both circumstances, enolok, you're not going to get Malkus. Enolok is arbaim. Bishlam ashover b'tamei dichtiv etzem lo sishmeru bo. Bekashiv lo b'pasol. So not breaking the bone, why in that case you're not getting Malkus? Because the Torah says etzem lo sishmeru bo. Bo is a mit. It's a limitation. You're only violating the Isser Torah when you break the bone of a kasher and tahor carbon Pesach. If the carbon Pesach is tamei, so you're not violating the Isser Torah. I know what the counter argument is. Good, it's just articulated. It is a carbon Pesach. It's just tummy. So, okay. Anyway, right. It's not. It's not right. It's not fit to eat. It's okay. So in other words, you're not violating the Isra in the Torah. But most here, but leaving over Nosar, so Nosar Batar, my time alav, Mishum David, Lav Shem Bamaisa, Vacholav Shem Bamaisa, and Lokan alav. So the Gemara says, I know why you're not getting Malkus. The Mishnah Malkus says you're not getting Malkus for Nosar, and the reason presumably is because it's a Lav Shem Bamaisa. How do you violate Nosar? By doing nothing. That's exactly how it's violated. And that's why you're not going to get Malkus. Umi my de Rav Yaakov, he dar malav shem b'maisa en lokin alav dilma Rabbi Yehudi he, mishum de ba kasav litin aser chalos asei. So halav hachilaki. And the Gemara says, look, I agree with the conclusion you're not going to get Malkus, but why are you not going to get Malkus? You think it's because of lav shem b'maisa? I can give you another very valid reason why you're not going to get Malkus. It's a lav anitak lasei. It is a lav in the Torah where the Torah tells you how to correct it. And as we also just got done discussing at the end of Masech de Malkus, you don't get Malkus for a lav anitak lasei. Did Tanya, we learned in the Brisa, lo sir sir mimenu ad boker, and also mimenu ad boker, beish chisrofu. Ba ha kasal litin asei achar lo sasei. The Torah says, what if you leave no sir? Burn it in a fire. So that is a classic example of a lav anitak lasei. Lama shein lokin alav, div Rav Yehuda, and that's why you're not going to get Malkus according to Rav Yehuda. And Rabbi Yaakov Amar Lomen Hashem Buzeh Ela Mishum David Lav Shem Bamaisa. The Lav Shem Bamaisa in Lokin Alav. And according to Rabbi Yaakov, I agree with the conclusion. But you know why you're not going to get Malkus? Because it's a Lav Shem Bamaisa, and therefore you don't get Malkus for Lav Shem Bamaisa. So this is not the Mishnah that Stam Mishnah that is compelling us to conclude that we found a Stam Mishnah that is of the opinion that Lav Shem that you do not get Malkus for Lav Shem Bamaisa. So where do we leave ourselves off right now? We are looking for that Mishnah, Stam Mishnah, that leads Rav Yochanan to the conclusion that you don't get Malkus for Lav Shem Bamaisa. And in the tomorrow, we're going to start right here, looking for that Mishnah. We're going to find that Mishnah, that Stam Mishnah. Then the Gemara is going to ask a very really simple question. Okay, so you have a Stam Mishnah that holds that you don't get Malkus for Lav Shem Bamaisa. You have a Stam Mishnah, meaning our Mishnah, that says that you do get Malkus. So why did Rav Yochanan favor that Mishnah over our Mishnah? So all that is where we're beginning tomorrow. Just as long as we're here in this Gemara. So last night they have an Amud Shvua program here at the Shul, and so last night Rabbi Lifshitz spoke, and it's amazing, right about this Gemara, because the Rambam, when talking about the Isra Nosar, the Rambam says you're not going to get Malkus for leaving over Nosar, and the Rambam writes why. So the Rambam says because it's a lav anitak lasei. So the Mefarshim on the Rambam ask, why did the Rambam say that? Meaning the Rambam's right, but why did he say it's a lav anitak lasei? The Rambam should write because he holds like the position that it's a lav shem b'maisa. So why, and that is a more comprehensive reason than just simply lav anitak lasei, seemingly. So he gave a number of very good suggestions in terms of why the Rambam focused on it's a lav anitak lasei versus a lav shem b'maisa by Nosar. Okay, anyway, he said it last night.
Those are big principles, but the anitak lasei is a bigger principle, no?
That was part of the discussion last night, meaning seemingly the lav shem b'maisa is a bigger principle, seemingly. Okay, anyway, we'll stop here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up.